Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host, Anthony Gitch, all the way over there. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I nor our guest today are licensed medical professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists or anything of the sort. So please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments that you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like, leave the rest, and while you're leaving stuff, leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, share us around, drop us a note, say hey, hello, hello, how are you doing, Anthony?
I am good. How are you, Nicole?
I'm just catching my breath back after that.
I know. You know, you always do such a wonderful job. We try to.
Because I'm fabulous.
Yes, we used to switch back and forth, if everybody remembers back from the early days. And then Nicole just started doing it. And then I tried to do it the other day, and it took us 10 minutes. And so Nicole did it, and Anthony won't do it anymore.
Anthony threw his toys out the pram.
Woo! So everybody, today on the show, I am happy to have with us someone that I've met last year at HypnoThoughts briefly through our friend Craig McKay, who's also been on the show, but Desiree Eckert, who is not only a hypnotist, she plays a lot in the world of metaphysical. She brings the metaphysical and hypnosis kind of together in the work that she does and the way that she does stuff. And she's going to be presenting at the Pacific Northwest Hypnosis Conference this year. And one of the things she's doing at the community event day is talking about hypnosis and the Akashic Records, which is really cool kind of stuff, I think. So everybody, let's give a big warm welcome to Desiree.
Hi. Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Welcome. How are you, Desiree?
I'm well, thank you. So happy to be here with the both of you.
We're really pleased to have you here. Really pleased. Your website's really interesting. It's called Desmerized, which is quite a nice little play on words there. Tell us a little bit about that. How did you come up with that?
I love a good pun. I actually have a theory about puns too, like these double entendres, or they're very hypnotic, and it takes both hemispheres of our brain to kind of come to that realization. And I think a lot of people roll their eyes at puns because they're like scared of the power of their own mind and this like uncharted, they've been fooled. Anyway, I love a good pun. I think they're hypnotic. I couldn't resist Desmera.
I like it.
I like
when
it.
When I first saw the website address, I'm like, now that's cool. I like stuff like that. yes, it's good on you. Now, like I said, we met at HypnoThoughts last year, and last year that was the first year I ever saw you there. Was that your first year there, or was that just your?
I'd been there before. I think the first time I went was in 2018 or 2018.
Oh, okay.
18. Yeah.
All right. So I would have seen you back then as well at some point or another.
Yeah, I was just more quiet then. I've done a lot of self-hypnosis to be more.
Right on. Well, yeah, it was good to meet you, and it's good to have you on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you bring the world of metaphysics into the world of hypnosis?
Sure. Well, that was like my background was in all those kind of like, you know, unseen worlds, unseen places, because I grew up in like the 80s and the 90s with autoimmune disease and chronic pain. And I was always trying to find out more of like, you know, how can I help myself through this? And I was just always in the bookstore researching my conditions and stuff, but I would always like get lured over to the metaphysical section. And those, you know, the things that I learned there just became like a natural part of my life as a kid. And so, you know, fast forward many years later, after I'm well now, and I started, you know, doing hypnosis, or I tried hypnosis on a whim kind of, but I had this kind of like these flashes of my life before. And like, I'm like, that was all hypnosis. Like there, that was all self-hypnosis in a way. And to me, it really helped me make that connection of the things that I was doing that really did help me. They gave me this, you know, a feeling of like, everything's going to be okay. Or, you know, I didn't realize I was actually kind of training my perceptions, you know, meditation, just I don't know, hypnosis just became this big thing that kind of hovered over everything else. And I think it's kind of the missing link. So then once I kind of went a little bit deeper and wanted to know more about why hypnosis worked, I started studying neuroscience. And it's like, I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dry when you get there. You're like, oh yeah, like our perception is everything and we can train it. And
it's a lot simpler than what people want it to be. And I think that that's where Nicole and I have had that discussion a lot, that, you know, society has been convinced that change has to be difficult and it really doesn't. Right. Yeah. I mean, when you get down to the brass tacks, as it were, it's much simpler than what we proclaim it to be oftentimes.
Yeah. And in those little things. Yeah.
Tell us a bit more, because I'm really fascinated, and you run trainings as well as work with clients, and your website is very much, so it's very kind of, I suppose, and I don't mean to be offensive. Your website could come across as quite woo-woo in terms of the design and the colors, this color schemes and who you're aiming at as well. You're aiming at kind of healers and witches, and a lot of people, I suppose, would classify that as woo. But then you spend a lot of time talking about science and evidence-based hypnosis, and you really bring that into your training. Can you, like, it'd be great to expand on that.
Yeah. Well, I do. I love working with people who already have those kinds of beliefs, because like I said, I did too, even though I wasn't totally sold on them because I didn't know why or how they worked. And that's why I love the neuroscience, because I know we can know why and how, like, our brain and nervous system kind of work and change now. And so, you know, as somebody who used to practice Reiki, you know, those are a lot of my communities, and I get a lot of clients still through those referrals, through those communities. And it is a natural complement. Hypnosis is a natural complement to those kinds of things. So I think that, you know, the people in my world, in my communities, they do Reiki regularly. They either practice it or receive it. It's like a natural part of their life maintenance. And I think hypnosis should be the same. And I think that when we know how to talk about it and when we know how hypnosis is working, we can make a lot of things very hypnotic and give those, you know, our clients and the people in our life, you know, much deeper integral changes that, I don't know. I think knowing the how is really cool. I think it's very magical. I think it just lends a lot of weight, and that people who are already seeing clients for other things, these more mystical things, can add in hypnosis. And it just, I think it's very exciting to be able to do that. So that's who I'm speaking to, because I love working with them. And when I teach them, they see they're already doing hypnosis. They're like, oh my gosh, this is all very familiar, but now I get it. Now I know why, and now I can do better. Mm. You know?
Desiree, I'm just looking, I'm still looking through your website. You've trained in past life regression therapy with Dr. Brian Weiss. Did you train with him
I did, yeah. I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I remember his book, Many Lives, Many Masters. And it was one of the first books I read in Spanish, actually, when I was learning Spanish. And I loved it. I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. I was always interested in past lives because as a kid, I got like a past life reading once. And I, like I said, I had chronic pain, and it gave me the best reframe where this person told me, like, oh, in a past life, you were, you know, your body abused your body. And in this life, you have to learn how to take really good care of it. And I loved that. It totally resonated with me. So I do believe in past lives, and that training was really awesome. I made some great connections there. It was huge. He trains really big groups of people at a center in New York, and it's like a retreat center. So it was a beautiful experience. But most of, you know, all the cool stuff comes after when you practice these things. And so my biggest, you know, takeaway was, well, also understanding how our subconscious speaks in metaphors, and how just, you know, like, I love doing past life stuff with people who don't believe in past lives, because I love to explain to them how their subconscious is, you know, always communicating in stories and making personalizing stories, and everything that we do involves stories. Watching, you know, binge watching Netflix, you know, scrolling our phone. We even watch stories on Instagram. Like, stories are everything. So your subconscious, no matter what, is going to give you this like narrative that is going to, you know, bring some healing or some transformation, some resolution to what you seek. And I love that. But at the same time, I have had people able to get names and dates and find grave sites and things like that. So that's so cool. I think past lives are such a cool way of working with our subconscious mind and just giving the freedom to deliver us what we need when we set that intention at the outset.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's really interesting.
Is that the same way you approach the work with the Akashic Records?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess so. That the intention is everything. That question, you know, setting some clear intention for the outcome and then allowing it to arrive.
Can you just explain a bit about the Akashic Records? Because I've heard of it. I couldn't give you a definition of what they are, and I would imagine I'm not the only one.
Right. Yeah. So I think of it also alternatively as the quantum field, and also in physics it's called the zero point field, and it is this ever present informational field that is all around us all the time, and we kind of interact with it by our awareness of it and our intention to interact with it and to receive information from it. So in Sanskrit, Akasha means primordial substance. So it is the all, the everything. And I like to think of it, the metaphor I use to describe it is it's kind of like Wi-Fi. Like, it's all around you, it's invisible, and it grants you access to all this information. You know, and you choose to interact with it, and that's how you get that information. You know, you come in, you put in a query in Google, and then you receive the information. So the more clear that you can get in your queries, the more tailored information you can get, because it is everything. So, you know, if you were to Google cat, you would get too much information. It wouldn't be very useful, because there's all the cats, all the memes, all the cartoons, the Lion King. But if you were to, you know, Google like a Bengal cat, then you'll get more tailored information. And so that's how I like to work in the Akashic Records, with intention, while also realizing it is all around us all the time. And sometimes we spontaneously go in there, you know, get some hits from it. And I realized early on as a hypnotist, as I was also doing Akashic Records readings, quote unquote, I had learned to do readings with people or read, you know, from their Akashic Records. But I realized that they were having access in hypnosis just naturally, because I think we have access to that field all the time. And when we eliminate other distractions and we come into something with intention, we can get information from there. So yeah, I think it's a natural part of hypnosis, and most of our lives, we just don't realize it until we realize it. And then we can choose, you know, to interact or
ask a question. So how would you know when you're accessing information from the Akashic Records rather than from your subconscious?
Right. That's a great question. And that's one of the things I teach, which I will be teaching at the conference, the Pacific Northwest Hypnosis Conference, is that it's interesting because it's a little bit different than your own inner intuition. And I think we all have our own different signs. So I learned by just interacting. And again, this is just like hypnosis, by just practicing and getting to know it and taking your time without the pressure to do readings or to do it right. Just knowing what it is to interact in this realm, this ever-present, you know, field, then you start to understand the difference between your own intuition and how that feels. It's a little bit of a higher level feeling. So for me, it's a little bit of a, I don't want to say like a racing heart, but like in a good way, it's like elevated feeling. It feels like I just kind of was running, and tearing eyes. And so sometimes I'll get those in certain situations in life. And that can be a sign that I like, okay, let me like stand back and get the bigger picture here. What's going on? And I usually get more information when I do that. So the way I do it is I guide people to kind of get to know their own specific signs by sharing some of mine. And then they can, you know, if you do that with clients, then you can share that as an example, you know. So for me, when I'm accessing my intuition, it really comes from like my sacral chakra or something typically. And I can tell the difference between that and the the Akashic information.
Ah, really interesting.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah, really interesting.
So what brought you from, because you were in New York and you were practicing in New York, what brought you to the all the way to the other coast? Because now you are in the San Francisco Bay Area. What brought you out here to this side of the what do they call it, the left side, the right side, whatever side, the California side? What brought you out here?
The weather, the hummingbirds, the palm trees. Actually, it was actually kind of interesting. I didn't mean to go here, but I was in, you know, in New York in lockdown during the pandemic. Oh my gosh, that was such a trying time. It was so hard. And we don't have nature where I was, in, especially in Brooklyn, like nothing to escape to. And so it was just, it was dark, you know? So I was doing a lot of self-work, a lot of, you know, I was also, you know, mourning the end of a relationship and pretty heartbroken at that time. And I was doing meditation. I was trying to open myself up to admitting that I wanted to move, because it really felt impossible at that time, straight up impossible. Like, I started the pandemic, made a few big financial investments, and then like 2 days later, all my job forever got taken away. And that was how I was making, and all my clients, my hypnosis clients, because they were all through my creative work in New York as a costume designer and a tailor. Everyone was freelance. So all of my clients were like gone, and all of my work as a tailor was gone. And so it felt impossible. And I was like meditating, and actually like in meditation, I saw a lake and a pin drop on a map next to this lake. And I knew it was in Oakland, California. And then I had a like, I didn't even know. I'm like, I've only been to Oakland a few times. Is there a lake in Oakland? And then sure enough. And then I started going into that more in meditation, that area on the map. And I saw 9 palm trees. Well, I don't want to say 9. I saw a series of palm trees. Anyway, fast forward, when I found this apartment, there's 9 palm trees right out my window. And it's just like, it's so funny, because I would tell some people in the area, like, there's palm trees in this vision I'm having. And they're like, there's not that many palm trees around, but here they are, they're out my window. So.
Right on.
Wow. Wow. So you moved during the pandemic.
I did. Yeah. December, 2020. I gave myself a 6-month timeline. I had to move before my 40th birthday. And, I made the decision on July 3rd and I moved in here on December 4th. So, and just all self hypnosis, like, to get that going. Timeline.
Wow. Good for you.
So we were kind of talking a bit before, and you were telling us a bit about your previous life as a tailor and seamstress. That's the wrong word.
Costume designer. Yeah. Tailor.
Costume designer. Yeah. Right. And so you were saying that they're, you know, kind of they being a hypnotist and being a tailor kind of a complementary. How's that?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, as soon as I became a hypnotist, people were like, whoa, that's a departure. What's up with that? I'm like, actually, no, I'm using my skills to, you know, work with my clients one-on-one to make sure that we get their desired outcome. And we're making those little checks along the way. So when, you know, in tailoring, I would have multiple fittings, make sure this is to your liking. And, you know, we're bringing their vision to fruition, into material form. And it's very much the same. Like, you know, we're bringing their intentions into the material world, like where they're going to live. And being, you know, being a tailor, I'm used to working with people one-on-one in places where they feel very self-conscious quite often. It's, you know, especially working with celebrities or high level people, you know, they're very vulnerable. So I feel like I already knew how to have that kind of building rapport and making them feel comfortable. And then becoming a hypnotist too. Like, I haven't tailored in a few years until recently. I got a client out here in the Bay Area and I was like, oh, let me see how this goes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I realize as a hypnotist how much power I have when they're looking in the mirror, I'm standing behind them and they're being really self-critical. And they're also asking questions. They're unsure. Does this make me look this? Does this make me look that? And effectively I could just stand behind them and do these little subtle body language shifts and, you know, just reassure them. Like they're going to see something different in the mirror, and it's just fascinating. But if you have that little moment of uncertainty, they're going to buy into that. And so you have to be really, you have to like lead them with these, you know, with the positive, you know, feelings. And you have to, as the tailor, look at them, how you you know, want them to be conveyed, how you imagine them, you know, feeling in that thing. And you just see it, you know, you start putting pins in somebody's sleeve and they stand differently because they look different. And I don't know, it's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, really cool. It really reminds me, Anthony, doesn't it remind you of Vicky, who was telling us the story about what she, so Vicky Martin is a colleague of ours who was also on the show, and she is a medical tattoo artist, and she tattoos areolas onto people that have had their breasts removed from breast cancer and stuff. And she does like very similar work when she does the reveal with clients, patients, I'm not sure the word that she uses. And I just got a real big flash of her telling a similar story.
That gives me chills. That's so beautiful. But yeah, and it's like mirror neurons in the mirror. It's kind of cool. Mm. It's very meta when we're people and doing that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're tailoring what their new impression of themselves, what new outfit are they presenting to the world? What is, you know, so yeah, I mean, that's very much, you're very much doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Good on you. Yeah. I like that. And so now, what are your plans moving forward? Where do you see yourself going? How do you see this developing?
I'm really excited about doing more hypnosis training. So I have one coming up in a few weeks. And I have my next one in the fall. I always like to do one around Halloween because I think I like to say Halloween is hypnosis is Halloween for your subconscious mind. It's like the veil is thin. We have access to multiple. So I'm planning that. And also having like an ongoing mentorship. Several of my graduates have asked for ongoing mentorship. And I was also honored, but also realized that I wanted that when I first became a hypnotist too. I was desperately seeking it actually, and it was really hard to find. So I'm excited to offer a monthly mentorship where we can deep dive into different topics, maybe even more things on the fringe and stuff like that. And also Q&As to like meet them where they are. But yeah, I'm just excited to get more people into my trainings and really having like the like-minded people join and use this tool and make the world a better place and give people a little bit of their like autonomy back. I just think it's a life skill. I think everyone should know hypnosis.
Right on.
Yeah. Are you doing your trainings online, in person?
They're all online for now. I would love to do it in person. It feels so far off. I don't know.
do you feel like life has kind of gone back to the way, you know, sort of gone back to pre-pandemic or do you feel like things are still kind of, yeah, half and half?
Like, yeah, I think it's still half and half. And it's hard because we've made all these connections on this Zoom interface. And it's like, that's always going to have to be part of our lives now. And it's just, you know, it's kind of awesome to be able to have people come from all over. I do mostly have people in California and New York on my trainings. So we're all on Zoom, but it's nice to have that connection over time and space. I actually think it's kind of cool. It's very Akashic.
One of the things we always ask our guests is tell us about something when you got into the industry as a hypnotist, that you would say that was a good learning curve for you, you know, whether it was a business decision or a client that you worked with or just something that you could give to other people out there, maybe something that you share with your own students that, you know, this is not something I would do again.
Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, I think the pre-talk is everything. I don't know if that, so I, in my first training, I was given a prescribed scripted pre-talk and it really didn't resonate with me and it didn't set up any confidence in what I could do. And that's, you know, my final exam in my training now is your pre-talk, your hypnotic manifesto. This is setting up everything. I think it's so important when we can convey hypnosis from are a way that resonates with us, that is that's like congruent, that conveys so much to the client and sets up everything going forward. So for me, it's like all about the pre-talk. So I give lots of examples for my students, but I want them to come up with their own unique, like, you know, what gets you the most excited about hypnosis? How do you see it playing out in your life? You know, and the other work that you do, and start conveying that, because then you can convey that with so much enthusiasm and passion that like, your clients are just going to like be over the moon with hypnosis and they can't wait to do it. So I think that's my answer.
Okay. That's perfect. I mean, yeah. I mean, if that's the learning curve, and I mean, if that's what you help your students learn, then yeah, that's because it is. When you're doing that kind of work, particularly trance work, a pre-talk is, it is an important aspect of the session for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very important. So I don't know. Yeah. But it took a long time to be able to deliver it with that confidence, but it paves the road ahead.
Mm. Right on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, it's definitely, it looks like you really kind of go into some really interesting areas in the course. And yeah, it looks really, really interesting. And I love, you know, how you've brought the two together, and it's not that common, right? It's not that common to see somebody that's bringing so much of the metaphysical into the scientific and joining them together and saying, look, you know, one is as important as the other, and this is how we can bring them together.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, because most people are like, it's got to be this way or it's got to be this way. Mm. And I try to tell people all the times, you know, we live in a world of duality. There isn't one particular, it can be both things. It can be inclusive of all of those things. It has to be inclusive of all of those things, because it's what is happening. And that is what that's what reality is. So I mean, to suggest that it's... Yeah, to suggest that can't happen, well, but it is.
I know. Hypnosis is that middle place, you know? Like, if anything, hypnosis should, I think, kind of include a little bit of that stuff. And it's like, you know, it's that middle place from when between sleeping and waking and sleeping. It's like, it's that middle kind of hazy mind space. I think that's where things get blurry and things get fun and all sorts of magic happens there. So yeah, but you know, the thing that differentiates hypnosis for me too is there is a, you know, it's a very, you know, it's ritualized, you know, we have the steps that we take and that's what makes it different, you know, in the application of it.
Right on.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Desiree, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to talk to you and get to know you a little bit, and wish you all the best as you continue on your journey in San Francisco, and you'll be seeing Anthony at the Pacific Northwest Conference. And I hear you'll also be presenting at HypnoThoughts as well.
That's right. Yes. I'm so excited for this summer.
Yeah. It's going to be a busy summer for you.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Desiree.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.